We turn now this morning to a brand new series, and so if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. This came out of a comment from on the after church chat during the height of COVID. We used to have after church chat, we still do actually, and go along, and people were able to ask questions or challenge things or talk about some of the things that we had done in the sermons, and somebody said, we were talking about the work of the Spirit, and somebody said, what about the fruit of the Spirit, and wouldn't it be good to have a series on the fruit of the Spirit? And as I thought about it, I thought that was a great idea, and I felt that was a kind of God thing, that it would be good just to take a few weeks as we move towards Pentecost to look at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. I was actually quite surprised as I looked back, because it's quite handy when you've been preaching for a while to have past sermons, so you can kind of pick them up. And I was quite surprised to discover I'd never actually preached on the fruit of the Spirit, which is definitely an omission in terms of ministry, because it's a fundamental thing. Last week we were talking about John the Baptist, and what we saw with John was that John the Baptist's ministry was essentially negative. He came and it was about dealing with the past, dealing with sin. It was about repentance and washing and getting rid of the rubbish. And Jesus came, and when he came, he added to this, but he also brought a positive dimension. He sought to answer what will replace what has been taken away. And so we have to deal with this past element, we have to deal with this sin, and now we have this positive thing. So what's going to take its place? What does it look like? And you see the same thing happening here in Galatians. Paul sets out and he kind of lists a whole bunch of stuff. And we'll maybe revisit that list a little bit as we do this series. But certainly we saw in the sexuality series that list is about devouring one another. It's about behaviors that are malevolent behaviors that damage one another. And Paul says you have to get rid of that stuff that causes you to devour one another. And you have to build this stuff that he calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now, there is a distinction between gifts and fruit. You see, when Jesus comes, the positive dimension that Jesus brings is that he releases the Holy Spirit to do two different things. The first thing is he enables us to represent Christ to the world through doing what Jesus did. And that's an element of the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul talks about those in 1 Corinthians, particularly 12 and 14. And he talks about how the gifts of the Spirit is a supernatural outworking of God's Spirit through us in sometimes fairly dramatic fashions. And that's the gifts of the Spirit. But there's also a second dimension, which is he enables us to represent Christ to the world through being who Jesus is. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so we need these two dimensions. You see, these things are brought about by the work of the Spirit in our lives. And the Spirit is going to do two things. He's going to give you ministry inclination. And again, we've been appealing for folks with a calling to children. But also, he's going to transform who you are. And these are things brought about by the Spirit of God. There is no such thing as DIY Christianity. I was looking at a project recently, and I went onto Amazon and started ordering up some DIY books. And I thought, yeah, I know, some people are shaking their heads thinking that's a really bad idea, get someone in to do it. and it's like the same thing. You know, it's really a bad idea for us to try and do this by ourselves. It has to be driven by the work of the Spirit. So get somebody else in to do this. And the Spirit comes and he brings these gifts and this fruit. You can't do it yourself. And it's as we see the work of the Spirit that actually we begin to see the witness to the world. There was a writer called Edgar Wallace, and some of you may have read his novels way back, but he was a fairly famous novelist. And he lived across the road from this Methodist minister, and Wallace wanted to be an atheist. And but he said, I can't be an atheist as long as this guy's living across the road from me, because he just reflected something that was different and distinctive. And that's what the Spirit of God is about. He's about putting something that's distinctive and different that witnesses to the reality of God in our lives. Now, we have to understand that gifts and fruit are slightly different. Gifts are outward. Fruit is inward. So gifts are more obvious sometimes than what's inside. Gifts appear quickly and instantaneous. Sometimes you can be a young Christian and suddenly have these gifts, and God be working through you in very distinctive ways. Fruit progresses slowly. Gifts do not mark a sign of maturity. And sometimes people can have spectacular ministries, and people kind of see their gifts, and they're attracted to that, and that's what they see. But it doesn't mean that they're mature as a Christian. In fact, sometimes we know, in terms of really gifted Christian individuals, that they've had dramatic ministries, but actually, in terms of things that we subsequently then read about, is that there wasn't the fruit in their lives in terms of maturity. And so the gifts come about through the fruit comes about through walking with the Spirit. And if you think about walking is basically putting one foot in front of the other. And oftentimes, as we look at these passages, we kind of say, where do we start in this? How do we begin? And it's basically you begin by, putting one foot 8 inches in front of the next, and then taking the next step, and taking the next step. And so we move towards maturity. Now, I want to emphasize that gifts and fruit should not be set in opposition to each other. They are a both and, not an either or. We need the work of the Spirit in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, but we also need the work of the Spirit in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. And there is certain things that are distinctive. Fruit is permanent, gifts are temporary. Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians. The wonderful thing about fruit is it tends not to be controversial. Sometimes gifts have been controversial, but no country has ever passed a law which says you can't be more loving, you can't be more peace-seeking, you can't be more gentle or patient. No leadership team in a church has ever prohibited these things, saying, we can't have this in our churches. But also, interestingly, gifts are plural, whereas fruit is singular. And this is an emphasis that I think is something that we should. If you read about gifts, you'll see that it talks about gifts plural. But when it talks about fruit, it talks about the fruit singular. And this is because the fruit of the Spirit is actually something that's not like you have one element, I'll become slightly more loving, and then another element, I'll work on peace for the next year, and then you become... It's because it's something that's generic and grows as a whole. There's actually a fruit, I think you get it in Australia, which apparently you eat it, and each time you eat it, it tastes like a different fruit. And you kind of take a bite of it, is that an apple? And then you take another bite, is that a pear? You take another, it varies, it's taste, and it's like that with the fruit of the Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with many dimensions. And each one of these dimensions grows in relation to the other. And if we look at the list that we have here, these 9 attributes, they kind of can be broken down into 3 sections. The first one deals with our relationship with God. Love, joy, and peace, they're related and derived from our relationship with God. The second 3 deal with our relationship with others, patience, kindness, and goodness. And the third lot deal with our relationship with ourselves, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Now, actually, these three things evolve together. You see, some people have natural attributes. So some people are more gentle than others. Some people are more patient than others. And some people are more loving than others. And we can see these natural attributes, and we can say, well, you know, what's the difference between those natural attributes and the attributes of the Spirit? Well, the attributes of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is that actually all of these dimensions grow at the same time. Our relationship with God cannot be divorced from our relationship with others. And our relationship with others cannot be divorced from our relationship with ourselves. And so we grow in these things as our relationship with God grows, our relationship with others develops, and our relationship with ourselves develops. And actually, it says these nine things or these dimensions all grow at the same time. And you can discover people who are loving, but suddenly find that they don't have any meekness within themselves or any self-control within themselves. See, and then you're dealing with a natural attribute. You're not dealing with the work of the Spirit. But when you find someone who loves God and is expressing that in their relationship with others and dealing with that in terms of themselves, then you are seeing the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what the Spirit is trying to do. He's trying to mature you in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others, and your relationship with yourself. And that's how we develop the fruit of the Spirit. These things all working together. How does that take place? How does that take place in our lives? Well, I think understanding the mechanism is like understanding the distinction between being filled with the Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about being full of the Holy Spirit. If you think, I don't know if you ever do this in your house, but you ever get the job of filling up the pan with the potatoes in it. Do people still eat potatoes? I don't know. Anyway, occasionally I do this, okay? So I actually have real personal experience of this. So you'll get some potatoes, you put them into the pan, you'll put it under the tap or pour the water in over it, and you'll fill the pan with water. And you'll look at the pan and you'll say, it's filled with water. But is it full of water? It's not really full of water. It's filled with water, but not full of water. It's filled with potatoes, or full of potatoes. It's filled with water, but full of potatoes. You see, the work of developing fruit is that the Spirit wants to get rid of the potatoes and fill you with water so that you are full of the Spirit of God. And when you're full of the Spirit of God, then it will be expressed in your relationship with God, with others, and with yourself. And so moving towards seeing the fruit of the Spirit involves taking and getting rid of that stuff that stops the work of your Spirit in your life. The minute you become a Christian, you're filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God fills you the second. And that's why you can have gifts, because you're filled with the Spirit. But to be full of the Spirit, you have to start getting rid of the rubbish. Again, my gardening acumen is not that well known. But I do know that if you want something to be fruitful, then you have to start preparing the ground. You have to get rid of the rocks. You have to get rid of the rubbish. You have to start feeding the soil. And that's with us. You have to start getting rid of the rubbish for the fruit to be there. And so if we are going to progress in the fruit of the Spirit, it begins with dealing with all that other stuff that stops God working. So the question this morning I have for us is, what are the obstacles that we're dealing with in our relationship with God? What are the things that are stopping you having the relationship with God that you should have? What are the things that are stopping the relationships that you should have with others? What are the barriers? What are the difficulties? What are the things that are hindering the relationships that God wants you to have with others? And what are the things in relation to yourself? What are the things that you're tolerating in your life in terms of your attitudes and behaviors that hinder the work of God's Spirit in your life? If you're going to be full of the Spirit, you've got to start dealing with these things. You deal with these things, as John the Baptist explained, through repentance and saying, God, I'm sorry for these things that get in the way of my relationship with you. I'm sorry for the way that I've been conducting myself in relation to others. I ask your forgiveness for the attitudes and things that I've allowed to take root in my heart. And Lord, I want to get rid of this rubbish so that I won't just be filled with your Spirit, but I will be full of your Spirit. And so that as I'm full of your Spirit, I will begin to produce the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control, so that people will see you in me. Lord, come by your Holy Spirit and transform me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the challenge of these words in Galatians. Lord, we thank you for Paul's description of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, and we recognize that as we begin this series, Lord, we cannot do this by ourselves, but we need to know the work of your Spirit so that we can see the fruit of that Spirit in our lives. However, Lord, we also recognize that we can stop the work of your Spirit by holding on to those things that damage our relationship with you, by holding on to those things that reflect broken relationship with others, by allowing attitudes and behaviors to persist in our own lives. Lord, help us to remove those things that hinder the work of your Spirit in our lives. Help us to come to you as a repentant and broken people crying out to you, Lord, forgive. Lord, heal. Lord, help us not just to be filled with your Spirit, but to be full of your Spirit so that we will be a fruitful people. We ask this in your name. Amen.